Some people come because they want to learn, they want to grow, they're hungry for God. Some people come because, well, your wife dragged you here. You really didn't want to come, but you just figure, she's nagging me so much, I gotta go.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Mark Job. Good to be with you on Straight Talk once again. You know, I was thinking today that some of the radio listeners, some of you that hear me right now, God is speaking to your heart and trying to get your attention. And I want to just encourage you, if you know God and you've tasted the goodness of the Spirit of God in your life and you have bowed your knee and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but right now you're sleeping with your girlfriend on the weekends, you're going out to bars, juicing it up, you're stuck in some pornography addiction, you're hanging around with the wrong friends and just not living the way that you know God has called you to live, hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to turn around. It's time to step into your call, because I can guarantee you the way you're living right now, if you're a child of God and have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are one miserable person. You're not happy. And deep inside, you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit letting you know, this is not how I'm supposed to be living. This is not who I am. So today, I want to challenge you through these airwaves and this radio program. I want to challenge you. It's time to turn around. Don't wait another day. Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And so I want to challenge you today. You've heard the voice of God through my voice. Do not harden your heart. Listen, repent, turn around.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Today we are going to be continuing our series called Like No Other. And Pastor Mark's message is going to be entitled Breaking Ceilings. Our text will be found in the book of Luke chapter 5. Let's jump right in tonight. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
We're in a series of messages called Like No Other. And you've seen the image. I love the image. Jesus stands out like no other. Not like Churchill, Mother Teresa, Bob Dylan, Elvis Presley, Barack Obama, our very own Michael Jordan, Aristotle, Hillary Clinton, Abraham Lincoln, Da Vinci, Martin Luther King. Jesus, well, he's like no other. He stands apart. There's been great heroes, legendary figures, but no one is like Jesus. And so today, as we continue our series, Like No Other, I want to talk to you about what it means to break through ceilings in getting into the presence of Jesus. In fact, today I really want to talk to you about the presence of Jesus. I believe that the power and the presence and the Spirit of Jesus is in this place today, right now, as we gather. It's a sobering thought to think that the God of the universe is here in a very tangible way. But I have this image of some people standing outside a glass window, looking in at what other people are experiencing, but not being able to experience it themselves. I believe some people stand on the outside looking in at the inside, but not feeling, experiencing the touch of God. And so today I want to talk to you about what it means to break through those ceilings so that you yourself can actually enter into the presence of God. I don't want you to be a spectator. I want you to be a participant. I don't want you to watch it from afar. I want you to experience it up close and personal. We've all had those moments, right, where you want to break through something to get to someone, and it seems like you can't. I remember several years ago when we first started the church in Back of the Yards neighborhood, 44th and Palina. It always seemed like something was happening after church. Some sort of crisis was going on. One Sunday, I saw a crowd at the back of the door at the entrance to the church, and someone said, came up to me and said, "Pastor, you may want to come out and see what's happening." So I walked over there, and there was a crowd at the entrance of the church not going out. I made my way through the crowd, and right there in front of the church, there was a guy with a revolver in his hand, had another guy up against a car, and was screaming and had his revolver to his head. I wasn't thinking. I was 22, so I, you know, at 22, you know, your frontal lobe is not quite fully developed. And so I kind of ran out. I ran out there, and then I realized, uh-oh, what am I doing out here with a guy with a revolver? And I said, "Hey, sir, put that gun away. You're in front of a church, and someone could get hurt." And so he kind of looked at me and said, "Who are you?" I said, "Well, I'm the pastor of the church." And he said, "Oh, I'm kind of a community partner with you. I'm trying to clean up the neighborhood with you. We're kind of like associates here." Like, well, I'm not sure we're associates here. We got other ways to clean up the neighborhood. And so he put his gun away and no one got hurt. So that was one Sunday. But shortly after that, a couple Sundays after that, I walked out of the church door and there was another crowd and they were crowded around a car. And when I walked over to the car, I saw what they were crowded around because there was a baby inside the car. And the parents had inadvertently locked the door to the car with the car running and the baby inside. Don't raise your hand if you've done that before. Just act like, "No, I would never happen to me." So the baby's inside, and the baby didn't really know what was going on, just a bunch of people trying to tap at the window, and the baby's sitting there in the car seat just kind of looking, and the parents are panicking because the baby's caught in the car seat inside of the car. The parents wanted to get to the baby, but there was a separation, a window of separation. They could see the baby, but they couldn't touch the baby, hold the baby, or be in the baby's presence. They desperately wanted to get in, but they couldn't. Thank God we had a couple ex-car thieves in the church because they pulled out their Slim Jim, and just in a couple minutes, man, they had that car door open. How many of you know God can use your past to do good in the present, right? All right. It always works out that way. So God can redeem your past skills to use for the good of the kingdom. But they wanted to get in, but felt powerless because there was something blocking them. I've run into people that are like that with the presence of Jesus. That you desperately want to get into the presence of Jesus, but there's a ceiling that you have to break through. This story is about a man trying to enter into the presence of Jesus, but not being able to in the beginning. I want to read to you out of Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. And you could follow along on the screen or in your Bibles. I'm reading out of the New International Version. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 5 says, "One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven.' The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, 'Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, 'Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' So he said to the paralyzed man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God." Word of the Lord. How to break through to the presence of Jesus. There's nothing more powerful than the presence of God. Exposure to the presence of God can transform your life. There is healing, salvation, conviction, restoration, grace, compassion, that all flows from the presence of God. There is power to restore that which has been broken. in the presence of God. There is nothing on this earth more powerful and compelling than the presence of God. In this story, it tells us that Jesus was in a town teaching. He was in a house, actually. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. I'm talking about how to break through to the presence of God. Number one, I want you to write this down. If you're struggling with breaking through to the presence of God, seize the moment. There are spiritual opportunities that you cannot afford to miss. It tells us that Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law, there were 6,000 Pharisees and other such religious groups called scribes, that were also surrounding Jesus, and they had come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. They were actually in the town of Capernaum. I have been to Capernaum in Israel, and I've been to the house, supposedly the place where this actually happened. Most scholars believe that the events around this story occurred in Peter's mother-in-law's house. Peter was married. We know that because it tells us in one of the Gospels that Jesus actually healed Peter's mother-in-law from a high fever that she had. And most people believe that it happened in Capernaum at that house, that people had gathered around by the invitation of Jesus and Peter's family to gather in his living room as Jesus talked to people about the gospel message. Now, most Jewish homes were about the size of our homes in the sense that, well, really packed out, you probably couldn't fit more than 25 people in the living room area altogether. And so people were overflowing out into the streets. They'd packed out Peter's mother-in-law's house. They were crowded around the entrance of the house. People had come for different reasons to the presence of Jesus. You know, back then is the same as today. Some people were there because they were just curious to see the miracle worker. Some people were there like the Pharisees because they didn't really believe and they wanted to catch Jesus saying something, well, that they could use against him. Some people were there because they believed that Jesus had power and they had a need in their life that needed to be touched. Some people were there because they were hungry for truth. I realize that on Sunday morning, as we gather together in a place like this with 1,500 people that gather in our services on Sunday, that there's a mixture of motives as to why people show up on Sunday. Some people come because they want to learn, they want to grow, they're hungry for God. Some people come because, well, your wife dragged you here. You really didn't want to come, but you just figure, she's nagging me so much, I gotta go.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Breaking Ceilings, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Like No Other. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 7. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Breaking Ceilings.
Some of you come maybe out of guilt. I should go to church. I feel so guilty about what I've done and what's happened in my life. Maybe it'll take some brownie points in heaven. Some of you come just because, well, maybe you come because you think, you know, I'm tired of trying to pick up girls in the bar. I'm going to go to church. Maybe I'll find a good chick there. And you just, you know, you're scouting around to see if you can find a girl here that doesn't hang out in the bars. And I don't know exactly why you're here, but I know that not everybody here is here because they're hungry and thirsty for God. But that doesn't matter to me, actually. I'm glad you're here no matter why you're here. Because here's what I know, that once you come and get exposed to the presence of God, whatever reason brought you here sometimes can be thrown away when God busts through and gets a hold of your heart. No matter why you came, God can still get through. And I've talked to some of you, have told me your stories, and there were people around Jesus that had different reasons why they were there. But the Bible says this, It's a curious, interesting phrase that's used here in this passage. It says in verse 17, at the end of verse 17, "And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick." That's an interesting phrase to use, isn't it? I would think that Jesus could heal the sick whenever he wanted to heal the sick. And the power of the Lord was there to heal the sick. You see, I believe that God's presence comes with seasons to it. That there are times when it's a season to sow and a season to reap. God is about his business, and sometimes God is about manifesting his power through healing. Or sometimes he's about manifesting his power through salvation. God doesn't work the same way in every season. Sometimes God is doing an extraordinary work in a certain way. And it is God's power is there for liberation. God's power is there doing something extraordinary at that time. God doesn't always work the same way at every time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? In other words, well, I look at my own life and I think, you know, there's times when I can, you know, help my kids with their homework. There's times when I can preach. There's times when I can study. There's times when I want to go on a date with my wife. But if I'm in a season when I'm a date with my wife, if my son comes up to me and says, "Hey, Dad, can we play soccer?" I'm going to say, "Hey, I'll play soccer later. But right now I'm with my wife." Right now it's a dating season. I'm cultivating that, you know, later, son. It doesn't mean that I won't play with him, but it means that right now, this is what I'm focused on. God works that same way. The power of the Lord was there present to heal. It was time for him to heal the sick at that time. I believe that there's windows of opportunity that we need to understand how God is moving. There are times when I've seen at this church where there's windows of opportunity where there's literally hundreds and hundreds of people coming to know Jesus. It's a time for salvation. It's a time where people are repenting. It's a time where God is moving in extraordinary ways for people to come to know him. And we need to understand if God is moving that way, then we need to cooperate with what he's doing. Get as many people into the presence of God as we can, because God is bringing people to repentance and letting them come to know to know the saving power of Jesus. Because there may be other times where it's all about building the believers or sanctifying the believers or restoring marriages, but we have to be sensitive to what God is doing and go through those doors when those doors open up. Have you ever gone to catch an elevator? The door opens for a little bit and you say, hold on. And by the time you get there, the door is closed. Does it mean that you can't catch the elevator later? No, but you'll have to wait before you catch it again. There was a window, it opened, and then it closed. Listen, we need to be sensitive to what God is doing and cooperate with what God is doing. I believe that right now at New Life Community Church, at this season, this is a season and a time where people, where prodigals are being restored and where people are coming to know Christ. So we better cooperate with what God is doing. I believe that we've already seen a lot of people come to know Jesus, and this is a season for salvation. So don't wait to invite a friend, pray for someone, bring someone to the presence of God, because a lot of people are coming to Christ. Amen. Secondly, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Expect obstacles. Every major breakthrough will be preceded by a series of difficult challenges. It tells us in verse 18 that some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, then they moved on to the next strategy. But I want you to notice this, that every time you seek to take a major step of faith into the presence of Jesus, to take your spiritual life to a new level, there will be obstacles and opposition to whatever step you try to take. I guarantee. Maybe you are a guy that's thinking about going to the men's encounter retreat. I can guarantee there'll be obstacles. Your boss will call you at the last minute and say, hey, you know, how about some overtime? You get in a fight with your wife that makes it feel like, hey, I don't want to go this time around. There will be obstacles to whatever major opportunity for growth comes forward. Faith is always opposed. There is no such thing as faith that doesn't get opposed. Every major step you try to take forward, there will be opposition to it. The Bible tells us that there were four men. It doesn't tell us in Luke, but in Mark chapter 2, verse 3, it tells us that there were four men that decided to help their paralytic friend. We don't know if he was a paraplegic, which means he was paralyzed from the neck downward, or if he was just partially paralyzed, but we know that he could not move on his own or could not walk on his own. And so somewhere down the road, four friends decided that they would pick him up. Each of the men take one corner and carry him to the presence of Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us about the story behind who had the idea. But how many of you know there's always someone that has the first idea? And then there's another person that says, that's a great idea. And there's always someone saying, that's a bad idea. So someone had the idea and said, hey, I heard Jesus in town. Someone else says, hey, what if we got together and took our friend to the presence of Jesus? And someone else says, I don't know if it'll go work, but if you guys think, I'll go. And then there's always the last person that's always a negative. I don't think it's a good idea. What if we drop him? What if Jesus leaves before we get there? You don't want to build up their hopes and then he doesn't get healed. It's never going to work. How many of you have friends like that? How many of you are like that? No, don't raise your hand. I don't even want to see that. But they pick up this paralyzed man and they start taking him to where they know Jesus is going to be, with the idea, if we can just get him into the presence of Jesus, then we know that God can do something. When they get to the place where Jesus is at, they discover that the house is packed out, that there's people overflowing to the outside. And if you've ever been in a crowded place and tried to get in, you know how people kind of get, you know, they squeeze in together. They look at you and squeeze in together like, hey, don't cut in front of me. And I'm sure the paralyzed guy said, excuse me, he really needs to see Jesus. And someone else says, hey, we're here too. We get in line. So they tried to get to the presence of Jesus, but because other people were in front of them or other people with needs were around them, they didn't get to the presence of Jesus. Some of you are like that. We talked about it last week. Some of you have tried to get to God, but it's people around you or in front of you that you feel are keeping you from God. Hey, never make other people an excuse for why you don't come to God yourself. I would go to church, but I know this person. They go to church. They sing. They're a big hypocrite. So why am I going to go to church, the same church they go there? Seriously? You're going to stay away from God and the people of God and the presence of God and the teaching of God because there's a person that has issues in the church? You'll never go to God if you're waiting for a church without issues. Hello? We all have issues. In fact, tell the person beside you, I got issues. If you're waiting to go to church to a church where people don't have any issues, then hey, you might as well leave now. Because we all have issues. They tried to get to the presence of God, but people with other issues were lined up, keeping them away from getting to the presence of God.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Like No Other, and tonight was the first half of his message called Breaking Ceilings. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free at our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJob.com. That's PastorMarkJob.com. If you would prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. For just $5 plus shipping, we can send those out. Pastor Mark has a book called Unstuck, and it is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you're looking to visit a church on Sunday, we invite you to check out some of our new locations. We've got New Life Elgin, which is celebrating its grand opening Sunday, February 28th at 10 a.m. Log on to our website also to see New Life Hobart. That's right, Hobart, Indiana. And New Life Berwyn is going to be relaunching. Check out newlifechicago.org for all the information. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. Please do join us again. Thank you for being a part of the Straight Talk family. Have a great night. God bless.